Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. Don't you just love your comfort zone, that place where things feel nice and familiar, that place where we feel most at home? Life has a way of pushing us out beyond our comfort zones, though, doesn't it? And we've got a couple of stories today about how leaving your comfort zone can help change your perspective and amplify your understanding. Up first, storyteller Jasmine Cardenas tells a story of pulling some of her childhood friends a little out of their comfort zones when she invites them to a party full of the traditions of her family. She'll teach them to play loteria, a game a little like bingo, played on cards featuring images that seem a little strange to Jasmine's friends at first. And they'll try new foods, and they'll tell new stories, and they'll find that this isn't just a party, it's kind of a voyage of discovery that will expand their horizons a little bit. And that goes for everyone there, even Jasmine, who's telling the story. The story is called Different Doesn't Mean Bad, it just means different. And we recorded it live in the Appleseed studio. Here's Jasmine.
Thank you so much. I come from a Colombian family, but I was born and raised in Chicago. And so maybe like many of you, when I was a little girl, everybody loved sleepovers. And I really wanted to go to them. But mommy and papi said, "Usted en casa ajena no se va a quedar." Oh, man, but they're not strangers. They're my friends, I would say. And the truth is that when I was a little girl, my mom and dad, they didn't speak English. So my friends at school were strangers to them, and they didn't know where they lived or who their parents were or anything about them. And so my mom would always say, "Usted en casa ajena no se va a quedar. You are not staying in a stranger's house." But she would always let me go to the parties, but she'd just pick me up before bedtime. But one year, she said that I could have a sleepover. Ooh! Mommy, I want to invite everyone in my class. Tres, Jasmine. Puedes invitar tres. Only three. Entonces nadie. Okay, three. I was excited. I'm going to invite Jenny, my Irish and Italian-American best friend. I'll invite Jisha, my African-American best friend. And I'll invite Lisette, my Colombian and Mexican-American best friend. Ooh, I was so excited. Mommy, we have to have cheese pizza. My friends like cheese pizza. Ay, cheese pizza. Eso es tan cursi. Algo más elegante. No, Mom, nothing more elegant. Just cheese pizza. Vamos a ver, we'll see, she said. The day of the party, I was decorating, putting up streamers and balloons, when ding dong, the doorbell rang. Someone's early. I opened the door. Hi, Jen. You're early. No, I'm not. I'm on time. You said 5 o'clock, and my dad's always on time. Well, don't worry. My family's on Colombian time. Come on. You can help me decorate. And so she helped me put up more balloons and streamers, and then ding dong, the doorbell rang, and in came my tías, my aunts, and my cousins. Ay, Jasmine, es que usted no está comiendo. ¿Por qué no está comiendo? Si no comes, ¿cómo vas a crecer? Brrr. Colombians speak fast. I looked at Jenny, and her face was red. Jazz, do they speak English? Oh, yeah, they speak English. Davidito, I said to my cousin David. Will you say something in English to Jenny? He looked at her. Cool, dude. See, they speak English. That felt way better. And then ding dong, the doorbell rang and in came Jish. Hey, Jisha, let's put your pajamas and your sleeping bag in my room. We came back downstairs and I said, what do you guys want to do? Let's play a game. Jisha was excited. I said, let's play loteria. And she said, Loto what? I said, it's real easy. I'm going to give you guys some tablets, and there's pictures on them. And if I call out El Sol, then you're going to take an M&M and put it on the cart. We're going to play with M&Ms, not beans, like my abuela plays with. I think it'll be more fun. And then if you get pictures all the way across or down or at an angle, you call out Lotería. And she said, so is Mexican bingo. I said, geez, kind of, but remember, I'm Colombian. Okay, let's play. So we started playing, and as I called out the cards, I said, La Luna, and she had the moon, and so she put M&M on her card, and then I called out, La Sirena, and that was a mermaid, and geez said, Jazz, how come she's not wearing any clothes? Geez, that's La Sirena. La Sirena's a mermaid. She doesn't need any clothes. She lives in the water. But Sister Wickheiser's going to want her to have clothes on. Sister Wickheiser was our teacher at school. All of our teachers were nuns because I went to a Catholic school. And Sister Wickheiser was not going to like this card without clothes on. I said, she's wearing shells. And she said, okay, I don't know about this game. I said, come on, let's keep playing. And then I called out, El Borracho. And she said, ooh, Jazz, what's wrong with him? He doesn't look right. And sure enough, on the card was this guy looking a little crazy. I said, oh, that's El Town Borracho. He's been drinking too much. Every town has one. What? You're not supposed to play with drunk cards? Geesh, come on, let's just keep playing. And I called out the next card, El Diablito. Oh, you got the devil up in this stack. And I said, oh, I guess. I was so nervous, my eyes were starting to get all watery when my very best friend Lisette walked in the door. And Geesh said, look, Jasmine's playing with cards that don't have clothes and they've been drinking and even the devil. And Lisette said, that's Lotería. I play that game with my grandma and my mom and my tías. You play this game too? Well, we all do. Everybody does. And I was like, yeah, geez, remember? Everybody does. She's like, okay, cool. And we kept playing, and sure enough, she had a big mountain of M&Ms because she kept winning because she played bingo at her church rectory and was very good at the game. And so then they said, I'm hungry. And I said, oh, let's go see if the cheese pizza's ready. Now, in my old Chicago house, to go from the living room to the kitchen, you had to cross through the dining room. And there, on the dining room table, was a great big pig with sunglasses on and an apple in its mouth and flowers around its neck. And Geesh is like, ew, gross, you got a dead pig up in here. And Jenny said, pig, and started to hide behind the table. And Lisette said, I don't want to eat lechon. You eat that gross thing? Ew. And I said, only at Christmas or New Year's, because it's special, not for my birthday. Mom! I called my mom, and she came in, and she said, ¿Ya vieron el lechon? Sí, lo vi, es especial, Mom. I don't want lechon. Where's the pizza for my birthday? And she looked at Geesha, totally grossed out, and Jenny hiding behind the chairs, and Lisette looking totally unimpressed. And she said, okay, cheese pizza. Go play. And she sent us outside to go play while she put a frozen pizza in the oven. And there in the yard was my dad, hanging out on the top of the garage, holding onto a rope. And on the other end was my tío, my uncle, holding onto the other edge in the back window of the first floor of the house. And in the middle was a great big sun, piñata. And Geesh is like, oh, cool, can I have that when you're done with it? And Lisette said, you're not going to want it when we're done with it. You see, when I was a little girl, you couldn't just go to, like, Target to buy a piñata. First of all, the store Target didn't exist, and you had to go to a specialty store, like a little Mexican mom-and-pop shop or an Ecuadorian store, and then they would make you a piñata if you ordered it. So my girlfriends, they did not have piñatas growing up, and this was their first one. And when my brother got the blindfold and the great big stick, and he started swinging in the sky, Geesh is like, be careful, you're going to break it. And Jenny's like, oh, don't break it, I want it, I want to hang it in my room. And Lisette said, get ready, guys, get ready. And sure enough, bah, bah, All the candies and toys flew onto the ground, and Jisha said, "Ooh, you got a Snickers up in here." And Jenny's like, "Mood rings, cool." And they started filling their t-shirts with all the candies and the toys, and then they said, "Can we do that again?" "Sorry, guys, you can only break it one time." And that's when my cousin walked by with a big plate of food, and Jisha's like, "Oh, I'm so hungry. Can I have some rice and beans like David's eating?" And I looked at her, and I said, "Are you sure?" She's like, "Yeah, I like rice and beans. My mom makes them all the time." "Mami, Jisha quiere comer lo que está comiendo Davidito." And my mom said, "¿Estás segura? Are you sure?" "Mm-hmm." So my mom came by with big plates of food, rice and beans and carrots and delicious things. And, "Oh, this smells so good, Jazz. Mmm, these rice and beans are delicious. They're totally different from the ones my mom makes. Mmm." And Jenny said, "Ooh, they're good. I like them." And Lisette said, "I thought you didn't want to eat lechon." "Lechon? This is that dead pig up in your house? Ew!" And I said, "I thought you said it was delicious." And I looked at Jisha's face, and her face reminded me of my own face. Because we had a family that had come to live upstairs from us, a Vietnamese family. And the entrance of our house, where the staircase was, started to smell real different after they moved in. And I started making faces and saying, "It smells weird." And my mom would say, "Eh, mucho cuidado con esas caras. Be careful, I don't want to see faces." One day, this family invited us upstairs for a celebration meal, and I saw food I had never seen, all kinds of vegetables and meat plates, and my face was starting to make that face. And my mom said, "Mucho cuidado con esas caras. Pruébelo." "Okay, fine, I'll taste it first." And I tasted it, and it was the most delicious food I'd ever tasted. I'd never had anything like these delicious Vietnamese treats. And so I saw Jisha's face, and I remembered my own face. And she said, "It is really good." And she finished that plate and asked for seconds. And just as we were finished eating our plates, that's when the music started. And I said, "You guys, you want to learn how to dance salsa?" "Oh, I can't eat any more salsa and chips, Jazz. I'm full." "No, no, no, not eat. Dance salsa. Come on, help me. All you got to do is put your feet together." And then they go out, together, out, together. "Come on, Jisha, let's do it." "No es igual mi pelo a tu pelo. No es igual mi piel a tu piel. It's not the same, my hair and your hair. It's not the same, my skin and your skin. A mí me gustan todos los sabores. A mí me gustan todos los colores. I really like all the different flavors. I really like all the different colors. No es igual a lo que como yo. No es igual a lo que tomo yo. It's not the same as what I eat at home. It's not the same as what I drink at home. A mí me gustan todos los sabores. A mí me gustan todos los colores. I really like all the different flavors. I really like all the different colors." Shake your shoulders. That's right. Janine, Jean, and Jisha, and Lisette, everyone was dancing. I said, "In my family, we dance salsa and we sing songs." Epa, there you go. Shake it and move. Shake it and move. And we were dancing for so many songs when my mom finally said, "Ay, mira la hora." "Oh, you guys, my mom says it's getting late. We gotta go put our PJs on." We started to go inside, and my mom said, "¿Quieren chocolate caliente? Do you guys want hot chocolate?" Jisha said, "I like Hershey's." Lisette said, "I like Swiss Miss." Jenny said, "Do you have strawberry quick?" "I don't know, guys. Let's just put our pajamas on." We went in and put on our PJs, and we came back out, and my mom was standing right in front of the stove with a big pot, tall, with a handle, and a big stick that kind of looked like a mallet with a big head, and she was crushing something and moving it around, crushing something and moving it around. And Jisha said, "Is your mama mad?" I said, "No, she's making chocolate caliente, hot chocolate." "This smells different," Jisha said. "I ain't ever smelled hot chocolate like this before, but it smells good." Jenny said, "I smell cinnamon." My mom gave us very delicate porcelain cups. And she said, "Sople, está caliente." "Oh, you guys, blow on it," she says. "It's really hot." And they tasted it. Oh, this is good. This doesn't taste like our hot chocolate jazz, but it's really yummy. And they drank it all up. And that night, I went to sleep so nervous that my friends at school were going to be hearing about how weird that game was at school. Maybe my teacher was going to find out about the mermaid and the devil card. And then I started wondering if they were going to make fun of me because of the weird games and the strange food and the dancing. There was no football watching at our house. We danced. And everyone was going to think it was weird. But actually, everybody wanted to come to my party the next year because they wanted to play the fun games and eat the delicious food and learn how to dance some salsa from a good Colombian family. And everybody was hoping to get invited to my birthday party the next year because different, it doesn't mean bad. Different just means different.
That was Jasmine Cardenas with Different Doesn't Mean Bad, It Just Means Different. You know, you never know what's going to bring on a memory, and you never know what memory it's going to bring on. And listening to Jasmine's story took me back to a memory I haven't thought about in decades and decades. When I was about 9 years old, I got invited to a sleepover down the road at the home of John Jex, one of my childhood pals. And this was a lot more common then than it is now, but when I was a kid, your mom might get on the phone with the mom of a friend and work out all the details of a carefully supervised sleepover, an overnight stay, and you'd take your sleeping bag over to your friend's house and you'd sleep there. And you'd usually put on your PJs and stay up late watching movies or making stuff out of Lego bricks, and then you'd finally conk out and wake up in the morning to the smell of pancakes, and you'd bundle into the kitchen and have breakfast. And then you'd get out of your PJs and back into your daytime clothes, and then your friend's mom would give you a ride home. And sometimes it was just you who was the guest, but sometimes it was a big sleepover party. And that's how it was this time. My friend John had a few of his friends over, and his brother David had a few of his friends over. So there were kids I knew there and kids I didn't know there. And anyway, at bedtime, everyone sort of took turns in the bathroom getting ready for bed. And one by one, they'd come out of the bathroom in their PJs, usually just a pair of sweatpants. Pants and a t-shirt. In fact, that's what every kid there was wearing to sleep in, a pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt. Everybody but me. When I came out of the bathroom in my PJs, I was wearing green fuzzy zip-up pajamas, the kind with feet, the kind of feet with white no-slip soles. I love those PJs. And at home, among your own family, in your comfort zone, you just wear the pajamas you've always liked. Doesn't seem weird, it doesn't seem different, and no one laughs. But the kids at this sleepover party had no end of amusement making fun of what they called my little kid pajamas. To be fair to my friend John, he didn't laugh. He was a better friend than that. But for everyone else in the room, those green, fuzzy, feety pajamas were just too easy a target. Well, it made for kind of a miserable night. And when I got home the next day and told my mom about it and told her I never wanted to wear those fuzzy, feety pajamas again, she said, "That's fine. You can do whatever you want to do. But why would you make your decisions based on the opinions of people who don't know you and don't care about you?" Well, I've tried to remember what my mom said. I think it's good advice. I've tried to remember when people have a strong opinion about something I do or don't do or say or don't say or wear or don't wear. Do those people know me or care at all about me? Those who do don't tend to laugh or make fun or judge. They tend to get compassionately curious about the things that make me different or distinctive. In fact, sometimes that's how I know they care. And that's where Jasmine's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along?
Simultaneously laughing, we're all agreed that we love, love, love the apple seed.
There's a lot more coming up, but I wanted to introduce you to another show from among the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called In Good Faith, and it's a podcast in which host Stephen Cap
Perry talks with a different person in every episode about their walk of faith, their faith tradition, their relationship with the divine. And whether you want to strengthen your own faith or just listen to thoughtful conversations about religion and about a walk of faith with a terrific listener, that's Stephen Capp Perry and In Good Faith. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to In Good Faith whenever you like, whenever you need it. It's another great podcast from BYU Radio.
Oh, tell me some more. Okay, I'll proceed with my story inspired by the apple seed.
We're so glad to have you with us today on the Appleseed Podcast. Our next story comes to us from North Carolina storyteller Donald Davis. In this story, from a time when hunting squirrels was how a lot of people in Donald's neck of the woods got their dinner each night, Donald gets pulled outside his comfort zone when he finds himself on a hunt. And I'll tell you, this story took me outside my comfort zone a little bit. But don't worry, a Donald Davis story usually comes with a safe landing. And this story actually reminded me a bit of some of the people and places in my own childhood growing up in the mountains of Utah. The story is called Squirrel Hunting, and here's Donald to tell it.
Well, thank you for being here. So my family came from the Smoky Mountains of North Carolina. If you look up the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, a lot of the land that's now parkland was land that belonged to my family in the 1700s and 1800s. My dad was born there in 1901 in a world in which he had to go hunting so they would have food for their family. But my dad would tell me about that, and he would say, the greatest moment in my life was when I got a job and got my first paycheck. Because he said, when I got that paycheck, the first thing I thought was, I will never freeze to death in the woods again, because now I can buy meat at the grocery store. So when I began to be a teenager and some of my friends were going hunting, like squirrel hunting and rabbit hunting and doing things like that, and I got interested in doing the same thing, my daddy just laughed. He said, why do you want to do something like that? We go to the grocery store. Why do you want to go freeze to death in the woods and then come home with something like that? We can buy good stuff with it. Oh, I was not giving up because my friends were doing that and I was going to do the same thing. Well, I kept on and I kept on and I kept on and I kept on. And when I was 16 years old, one day my daddy got kind of tired of that and he said, okay, why don't you and one of your friends go squirrel hunting? Go out to the farm where I grew up, way back there in the Smoky Mountains, farmland and then mountains behind that farmland, and you can hunt squirrels and then we'll have squirrels. I thought, this is going to be the greatest thing in the world. I'm going to go with my friend David, and we're going to shoot a whole bunch of squirrels, and we're going to be great hunters, and we're going to save our family money because they won't have to go spend money at the grocery store. It's going to be wonderful. So the day came. It was Friday afternoon. We got my daddy's old work car, and my friend David and I drove out. It was where my Uncle Frank now lived, on the farm where my dad grew up. And we drove that old car way up into the woods because we were going to spend the night sleeping in the car. One of us stretched out on the front seat, one of us stretched out on the back seat. So we would be there in the morning and we would be up and in the woods before the squirrels got up. So early the next morning, before daylight, David and I got up and we headed out into the woods and we were there when the squirrels first started moving around. And by luck or crook or some kind of providential, you know, happening, we ended up shooting 5 squirrels. Well, that afternoon, we started home, and David and I were going to divide up the 5 squirrels. But you know what? He told me he didn't want any of them. And I could have all 5 to take home. And I thought, oh, that'll be wonderful. That'll make a perfect supper for us. We'll have 5 squirrels for our family for our supper tonight. And so I got home and I very proudly showed my daddy that I had 5 squirrels. He said, "Oh, this is wonderful. This is going to be so good. We'll have a dinner like I used to have when I was a little boy. It'll remind me of all kinds of things. It'll be so good. I haven't had good squirrels for supper in such a long time." He said, "First of all, you got to clean the squirrels." I said, "What?" He said, "First, you got to clean the squirrels." And I said, "Who has to clean the squirrels?" And he said, "Who shot the squirrels?" I said, "I did." "Then you have to clean the squirrels. Come on, I'll show you how." And he took me around behind our house, and he came out with a knife and a dishpan. He said, "Now pick up one of the squirrels. Take the knife, and you cut it just through its skin, right around the middle." And I did that. He said, "Now, get your fingers inside the skin on this side, and get your fingers inside the skin on this side, and then pull." And I started pulling, and it was turning the skin of the squirrel wrong side out and stripping it off, like pulling your pajamas off from both ends. And about that time, our little cat came around the corner of the house and saw what was happening. It looked like a little skinned cat, and that cat turned and ran up a tree as far as it could go. And then I got the skin all pulled off, and here it was hanging on this end, it was hanging on this end, and then I had to cut its feet off. And then, if you think this is horrible to listen to, think about how much more horrible it was to have to do it when I was a 16-year-old kid. And then I had to cut the squirrel's head off, and I had to take out its insides and cut it up. And when it was all done, there was almost nothing left. It was just tiny little bones with little bits. And there were 4 more squirrels to go after that. And I had to skin and clean all the squirrels and cut them up. And there was a little pile of bones with little bits of meat on it. And my daddy said, "This is so good. It's going to be so good for supper." And I thought, And we took the cut-up squirrels inside to my mother, and she was going to fix our supper. And she made fried squirrel, and it had white gravy all over the fried squirrel. And we had to go with it white hominy and white cornbread. It was a totally colorless, awful-looking meal. And we sat down at the table, and looking at that food, do you know what my daddy dared to do? He dared to actually ask the blessing and give thanks for it. And then he started to eat. "Oh, this is so good. It reminds me of my childhood. And oh, dig in, dig in." And my little brother and my mother and I just sat there and we stared at our plates. And then I said, "Mother, do you think the grocery store's still open?" She said, "I think it is." And without even talking about it, my mother and my little brother Joe and I all pushed our plates over to our daddy. And we went out and got in the car, and we went to the grocery store, and we came home with wonderful gourmet TV dinners. And it was the very best dinner I ever had. So to this day, if somebody asks me, "Well, you grew up in the Smoky Mountains. Do you go hunting a lot?" I said, "I do. I go hunting almost every week. I hunt for the grocery store."
That was Donald Davis with squirrel hunting. Have you ever found yourself outside your comfort zone? What did you learn there? Have you ever discovered something wonderful by trying something new? I bet you've got some stories to share. And we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can communicate with us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. And here's a reminder to check out the other shows in the Appleseed family of podcasts, including Wink, Stories for Better Bedtimes, and Kaboom, an audio adventure podcast. You can find them anywhere you get your podcasts. And we want to thank Jasmine Cardenas and Donald Davis for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their tales. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, and Brian Tanner. Assistant producers include Garrett Gunnell, Carrie Griggs, Kay Hendrickson, and Nico Wetzel. And our post team is Trent Reimschussel and DJ Cromartie. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcasts, Kaboom for original audio adventures, and Wink Stories for Better Bedtimes. All our podcasts can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, leave us a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed.